Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Our reading today is from the book of Joel. We're not precisely sure when Joel was writing, but most scholars believe that he is writing after the exile to Babylon, and he's communicating to the people that are the remnant that have been left there. And so if you think about where we're falling in this, we have read from Isaiah and Jeremiah, and we've gotten to a place now where we've gotten this last prophet that we're going to cover, maybe the last prophet we're going to cover, and we're going to talk a little bit about this anticipation of what's about to happen to the people. The word that Joel will use is a very common word throughout the Old Testament. In Hebrew, it's shuv, which means turn. But you could also have it mean return, or you could also translate it repent, because it's about a change in direction. So when I read that, as you hear that, it's this return to God. You're going to say that several times, but it's turning around from where you are, heading that direction. Emily got into the element of the second reading that we have today is God's breath. The nature of how we translate spirit comes from a root word in Hebrew, ruach. I love that word, ruach. And it could be translated spirit, it could be translated wind, breeze, breath. All of those apply. And the word that's being used here is to pour out your spirit on the children of Israel that are left. I will get this in my sermon, but Peter will use this for his very first post Pentecost sermon. I'm on page 847, and then I'll flip to page 848 in your pew Bible, reading from the prophet Joel, chapter 2. First, I'll read verses 12 and 13, then I will skip to verses 28 and 29. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Skipping now to verses 28 and 29. Then afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Wasn't that anthem that the choir sang today, what it was called, Lost in the Night? Wasn't it just lovely? There was a haunting, plaintive quality to that anthem. There was a lot going on inside that anthem. For one thing, it haunted us with echoes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Also, the verbs were interesting. Will see. The light will shine. It talks about a future occurrence. The Isaiah tells of an anticipated Prince of Peace and of the light and life that this Prince of Peace would bring. The anthem plays with the ideas of anticipation and uncertainty in the darkness. Come and save us soon. But the anthem ends with anticipation grounded in certainty. Christ is coming soon. The text for today, Joel 2, is also about coming. But it isn't about Christ coming, it's about God's people coming back to God. Let me read it to you again. "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing." The invitation here is for people who have done their own thing. Does that sound familiar to us, maybe? Done their own thing? To return, to turn back to God. We often translate that Hebrew word that is returned here as repent, abandon the ways we had been going on our own, and turn around and go back to God. Their hearts are also part of the focus here in this passage. And because we're invited to rend our hearts, we might be confused with that word. We might think of rend in terms of to shred. But here the meaning is for those returning from exile to rather to open their hearts, to open your hearts. That would suggest perhaps that in their moving away from God, their hearts are closed. Their hearts are closed and they're invited to turn and open their hearts. The heart to the children of Israel was that center of their intellectual, moral, and emotional selves. It is at the core a word often focused on character. Character. A closed heart means you're not open to change, to transformation. Here, Joel is saying it is hard to catch God's grace and mercy if we keep our vital essence closed to God's steadfast love and constantly expect punishment. And what Joel is saying here is almost exactly how Jonah understood God. I love this passage out of Jonah. Jonah goes to talk to the Ninevites, and he says, "You know, if I go talk to the Ninevites, you're just going to be full of grace and full of mercy." And sure enough, he does go and talk to the Ninevites, and they accept God's grace. And then Jonah comes back and says, "I told you so. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." I like that. I like that. Jonah went to Nineveh to invite those people to turn from their ways, to turn from their ways. Joel here is inviting the returning remnants of the root of Jesse, the Jews, to turn in their ways. Their hearts are closed and they are invited to turn and open their hearts. And we don't need to do this out of guilt or shame. Rather, we do this out of joy in remembrance of what Christ has done in the past. Tim Keller is a pastor of a very large church in New York City, Church of the Redeemer, and he writes, "Fear-based repentance makes us hate ourselves. Joy-based repentance makes us hate the sin." And what will happen when we turn our ways towards God? We're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me read to you again. "Then afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my Spirit." Pour out the Holy Spirit. And who will receive this blessing of the Holy Spirit? Sons, daughters, old, young, free, slaves, will all have dreams and visions. Luke's gospel will deal with this. He gives us an exact excellent idea of how sons, daughters, old, young, free, and slave experience his pouring out of the Holy Spirit, of how dreams and visions are experienced. Luke 1, Elizabeth and Zechariah will be the parents of John the Baptist. They are old, and a woman and a man. Again, in Luke 1, Mary and Joseph will be the earthly parents of Jesus. They are young and a woman and a man. Later in Luke, Simeon will recognize the baby Jesus as the coming Messiah, old and a man. And on and on and on. Throughout Luke, throughout Acts, over and over again. Even being understood by the slaves in their world. And this word is carried on without regard to gender, both male and female, ethnicity, both Jew and Gentile, of status, free and slave. In Acts, in Corinthians, in Ephesians, and over and over and over again, the Spirit is poured out on those who have opened their heart to the Lord. In many cases, their hearts are closed, and they're invited to turn and open their hearts. Christ is coming soon, but Christ is not coming soon to Bethlehem. Christ is coming soon in this anticipation of the ultimate arrival of God into the world to be with us. Advent is the anticipation of the arrival in Bethlehem, but it's also a chance for us to stop and pause about the ultimate arrival. Roberta spoke to the choir on Thursday night, reminded the choir, our ultimate destination is not Bethlehem. For sure, the journey passes through Bethlehem, through Egypt, through Nazareth, through Galilee, through Jerusalem, to Golgotha, to the empty tomb. And the full understanding of Easter is realized at Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit will be poured out on them in the upper room, which leads Peter, one of my favorite whipping boys, Peter, to preach his first post-resurrection Spirit-filled sermon. And what did Peter use as his text to preach that sermon? From where we are today in Joel. Peter encountered those whose hearts were closed, and they're invited to turn and open their hearts. What are we to take from this passage today? I wonder if the second verse of the anthem doesn't give us the insight. Shall those who have light no light let us borrow? Giving no heed to our burdens of sorrow. Will you help us soon? Will you help us soon? The poet's talking to us. That's the question here for us today. The anthem asks if our hearts are closed or are they open? And we're invited to turn and open our hearts. The Joel passage starts with a call to repent, to return to God. Where do we need to turn ourselves so that we can return to God? The Jesus who is coming in the anthem isn't the Bethlehem baby. It's the risen Savior. Advent is about anticipation, but if we aren't careful, we can find ourselves stuck on the idea of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is an important supporting actor in the drama, but Golgotha, the empty tomb, and the upper room are far more important actors in this drama. And because of them, we know the end of the story. The end of the story doesn't scare us. We are at peace. Early in Joel, the image is for the children of Israel to rend, open their hearts. We hear this idea again from three of the four Gospels as it relates to the Jerusalem temple and the curtains that separated the people from the Holy of Holies. Luke 23, Jesus' execution. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. What had separated the people was torn in two. Luke mentioned the ripping of the temple veil and the death of Christ right after he recorded the interesting conversation that Christ had with the robbers being crucified on either side of him. Jesus told the understanding thief he would be saved. But according to the Torah, how on earth could this be possible? The thief realized he was wrong and prepared to repent and seek salvation, but he was in the middle of being executed. He didn't have time to go back and make the proper sacrifices and get the high priest to intercede for him. But Jesus told him he wasn't doomed. The unblemished lamb was being sacrificed right next to him. The temple veil was being torn in two. Their hearts were closed, and they were invited to turn, and they opened their hearts. Philip Yancey writes, repentance, not proper behavior, even holiness, is the doorway to grace, and the opposite of sin is grace, not virtue. That convict, that prisoner executed with Jesus there at Golgotha gets it. Because our hearts were closed, and through this pouring out of God's grace and mercy in the form of the risen Christ, we have turned and opened our hearts. And all of God's children say,
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.